Best show on WFMU is back for another Tuesday night installment, everybody. Get ready for 3 hours of mirth, music, and mayhem. My host for tonight on The Best Show will be Tom Sharpling. Let's bring him in.
Hey, everybody!
No, that's not me. This is me. Aha, I gotcha. Or did I? Which one is really me?
This is really me.
No, that's not really me. This is me.
Stop. Why are you doing that? Why are you pretending to be me?
You're not sure what to think. It's like watching adaptation. You don't know what to think. You don't know which one is me. Oh, fun. We just heard from the Soft Boys from their album Underwater Moonlight, the classic. Second album by the Soft Boys, who consisted of Robin Hitchcock. A guy named Andy, I think. There's also a guy named, Kim, right? Kim, yes? Another guy, I want to say Mason? I think there was a Mason in the group. But we heard I Want to Destroy You. Reissued by Matador a few years ago. Before that, Oneida. Their 2001 album, Anthem of the Moon. We heard People of the North on the Jag Jaguar label. The Kinks are the Village Green. Preservation Society. We heard Higgins after the Kinks. We heard Higgins from the album Dear Higgins. We heard Show. Jersey Rock, guys. Higgins. The Kinks from the album. The Kinks are the Village Green. Preservation Society, we heard Animal Farm. The Mono Mix. And Eric Matthews got us started. From his album, It's Heavy in Here, going all the way back to 1995, we heard Fanfare. The phone number here, 201-209-9368. It is Open Phone Tuesday here. For this portion of the show, Open Phone Tuesday, 201-209-9368. And that number is exclusive to The Best Show on WFMU. If you hear any other program on the station, give it out. Email me. Because they are announcing that number fraudulently and will be brought up on charges. I will contact the FCC, Bell Atlantic. And the general powers that be to help me prosecute any other program on the station using that number. (201-209-9368) We got a full show for you tonight. Full show. Full show. We're going to hear song contest entries. We got a bunch of those to play. Got a young woman who thought I was 65 years old is going to call up, and she actually drew a picture of what she thought I looked like based on my voice on the radio. And I sent that picture to Stan over at the Friends of Tom chat, which is the only chat that you can listen to the best show on WFMU, along with. You can try the other chats. You're only going to end up disappointed. Now, Stan, Stan is trying to get that picture posted. Thank you, Stan. Stan in Bobo Kick, taking care of a kick in Bobo. Chrissy 5. There's like 8 Chrissies who listen to the show. They're all guys. And like 4 of them are Chris L, actually, somehow. But none of them are related. So anyway. Gonna talk to that young lady later in the show. We have want to talk about some things that we'll play a game called Am I the Only One on Earth? Song contest entry said that. Got the 1,000th MySpace coming up for the best show. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? So exciting. But I'd like to start things off on a serious note tonight. Last week I read an article from the Village Voice about the tall bike phenomenon, the mutant bike syndrome, which is attacking New York. It's these hoodlums, I guess, for lack of a better word, these street dwellers who modify these bikes so that they're tall bikes. They can sit 7 feet high on the bike, which is fun. That's fun. I think that's fun. Ride around the tall bike. They look cool. I'll back you up on that. But then they attacked a store, a good old-fashioned mom-and-pop store, trying to just make an honest buck because they put some tall bikes in the window, trying to get some gimmicks going. They wrote in acid, "Bike culture not for sale," on the window. Bike culture not for sale. So I took that. I used my show as a pulpit to attack the street filth riding around on these tall bikes. I even took one of the tall bikers to task, a guy named Purple Shirt, who calls the program. I took him to task, and he folded like a cheap camera under the glaring lights of justice. But I paid the price. The war is on between me and the tall bikers. I was walking through New York City the other day. Nice day. Had a ice cream walking down the street. Just enjoying a warm early spring day. And then all of a sudden, the day turns to night. It's darker than I thought. I'm on a street. I'm not sure where I am. Long story short, 3 of these tall bikers found me, surrounded me. They're riding their bike around me as I tried to walk down the street, and I was like, I'm not looking for trouble, guys. I'm just Just trying to walk down the street and enjoy my ice cream. Not looking for trouble. And then they're like, yeah, you found some trouble, though, huh, Big Mouth? And one of the guys pulled out a vial and threw it at me. It was acid. And it scorched my arm. And they told me, in no uncertain terms, if I talked about the tall bike culture anymore, that I would be dead. They said they would kill me. They gave me the warning. You know what, though? I'm not scared of you tall bikers riding your tall bikes. They had chains, too. Like swinging chains. And one had a leather jacket on. Like a filthy leather jacket. And it had some gang lingo on the back of it. I'm not sure what it said exactly. Why didn't I notice what it said? I was busy dodging acid. They were shooting it out of super soakers. And I kid you not, the next thing I saw was so horrifying. It was an old lady and her grandson walking down the street. As I lay on the sidewalk, recovering from the stinging burns of the acid. They started circling the old lady and the kid who were carrying groceries. Started circling them. The one guy, I believe his name was Manny. I think I remember hearing the name Manny Fraker. Something to that effect. Started whipping a chain around. And started whipping the old lady with the chain. Until she hit the ground. She was pronounced dead. They killed her. These tall bike hoodlums killed an old lady just for thrills. And then the one guy said to the kid, watch the 10 o'clock news. You're going to see all about your grandma. Horrifying. I'm not scared of you tall bikers. I'm coming back at you. There was another guy who kept giggling on the one tall bike. Giggling, laughing the whole time. As if this was some sort of, this is like a Dane Cook concert. It's not funny time. It's not funny time. You're killing people. You killed an old lady. That's not funny. It's not the Laugh Factory. I'm not scared of you tall bikers. I feel like that Vin Diesel movie. Where he was all alone, but he went up against like a gang. Or maybe, man, I feel like a Cobra. I feel like Marion Cobretti in the movie Cobra. Enough with the tall bikes. I'm not scared of you guys. 201-209-9368. Open phone Tuesday. Let's have fun now. You go to the mailbag. I got some mail. Got a pile of mail right here. Let's see. Hey, Tom. Here's my entry for the best show theme song contest. My band is called Outside Man. I sent our CD before. I don't know if you got it or what. Here's the song. It's called Feeling Like a Creature. And it's just what the doctor ordered. We'll listen to that in a little bit. Outside Man. Feeling Like a Creature. Here's an envelope. Gonna open right now. It's called Wild Tom's Da Bomb, another song entry by Cyrus McCracker. We'll hear that in a bit. Now here's the kicker. It was sent overnight. $14. There are photos of a child. There's photos of a bird. Sent by Seafaring Willis is the name. Seafaring Willis. And actually there is a cutout picture, I kid you not, as I go through this. Mike, you can back me up on this if you want to come in and tell me who this is a picture of. Who is that? Do you recognize that? It's the Gordon Fisherman, yes. From a box of fish sticks. So those are the pictures included with this. Here's the letter. Tommy, with your very excellent permission, we'd like to resubmit this entry, which has been re-recorded, revitalized, retreaded, and revivalized. It's like a whole new song. The first version was recorded over a Pablo Cruz track, producing a substandard anomaly. This is Seafaring Willis, and we're going to check this out. Let's open the package. I'm waiting to open one of these things. I expect just like crickets to come pouring out over me. Like somebody's going to send something completely horrifying. Okay, it's this was an entry played a couple weeks ago. Re-recorded. For the contest, we will listen to that. In a little bit. But first things first, I'm going to turn it over to you, the listening audience, now. I need your help. There's an MP3 of a song that cannot be identified. Let me try to bring it up here. Hold on. There's something a friend of mine, friend of the program, her name is Sparky Pop out in L.A., sent me this, and there was a, everybody's trying to guess the name of this song, and I knew my audience would be able to guess it. Let me see if I can bring this up here. There it is, and the name of that song is? No, that's not the name. Let's see if we can do this. I know my audience can name it. It's a keyboard replication of a melody from a song. What is the name of this song? Do you know that song, Mike? (201) 209-9368. What is the name of this song? Let's see if anybody knows. Does anybody know? Let's find out. history. Supposedly it's from the late 70s or early 80s. And it goes something like this. I know my audience is musically advanced, and they will identify this song within a matter of moments. No, it's not Game of Pricks by Guided by Voices, and it's not Jesus Lizard. And it's not a MIDI orchestrator demo song. And I don't think it's Turn the Beat Around. People in Los Angeles were having a hard time identifying it. But we can do it. My audience is smart. No, it's not by Uncle Cracker. I don't know. Just name it. Help me. Meh. No, it's not Straight Outta Compton. Although it is pretty close. Straight Outta Compton, no do de do, crazy do 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 do. (201) 209-9368 If you know that song, you call up, you let me know. Otherwise, it's Open Phone Tuesday, old-fashioned style. Okay, cross off the tall bike attack story. Was attacked by the tall bikes. It's not Baby Shambles. I think it's like a hit. It's not the new Best Show theme song either. I need more time to get ready for this. People are in the Friends of Tom chat, which you go to over at friendsoftom.com. The only official chat of the Best Show on WFMU. And it's jam-packed. Is it Come On, Feel the Noise? Come on, feel the noise. All right. 45 minutes into the Best Show already. We heard some rock music. We talked about getting attacked on the tall bike. We just played a song for 5 minutes and nobody knows what it is. Open Phone Tuesday. The phone's a little quiet. Everybody's chit-chatting in the chat. Nobody wants to chit-chat on the phone. Chit-chat, chit-chat all over the internet. Actually sounds like you get teased on the playground. Chit-chat, chit-chat all over the internet. I don't chit-chat on the internet. Chit chat, chit chat, all over the internet. Now we're gonna get rolling with there's the movie building game, which is always fun. Which game do you like better, Mike? The movie building game? Or am I the only one on Earth? We haven't done Am I the Only One on Earth. Let's give it a shot. If it dies a horrible death, we go to the fantastic movie building game, which everybody loves. But the game, Am I the Only One on Earth, is played like this. You call up, and you say, Am I the only one on Earth who blank? For example, am I the only one on Earth who thought Shaun of the Dead was, just okay? Am I the only one on Earth? Everybody loved it. I sat there wondering what the big deal was. It was all right. C-minus zombie movie. Everybody else loved it, though. Am I the only one on Earth? 201-209-9368. We are now playing Am I the Only One on Earth? For example, am I the only one on Earth who's never seen a full episode of Law and Order in any of its permutations? I've never seen it. Mike has never seen it either, so apparently that question has been answered. I'm not the only one on Earth, but maybe this is it. Maybe it's the two of us here. The only two people on Earth who've never seen a single hour of Law and Order in any of the 9 variants. I talk to people about Law and Order. People obsessed by it. Kids got no time for Law and Order. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, am I the only... This is Scott from Chicago. Tom,
hey, Scott, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Am I the only one on Earth that gets a really violent reaction, like really, really horrible, like sickening reaction to Steely Dan?
No, I do too.
All right.
You're not the only one on Earth. I hate Steely Dan.
Okay.
That's bad stereo demonstration rock.
All right. I'm glad to hear it, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. I've said it before. The only way I'd listen to Steely Dan is if I was opening a stereo store and I needed to showcase some hot speakers. Be like, hey, let's check this out. You want to see the dynamics on these speakers that I put on real into the ears? Check out that guitar solo. Bow, bow, ba-da-dum, bow, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, it's listener Dave in New York City.
You're just Dave in New York City. I don't put that listener tag on people on this show.
But I'm listening.
Well, you know what? Okay. I'm listening to you right now.
Okay. Well,
You're just Dave. Normal Dave.
Normal Dave. That's what everybody calls me.
Okay, Dave. What you want to play the game? Am I the only one on Earth?
I do. Am I the only one on Earth who absolutely hates the movie Pulp Fiction? Hate it.
What was your experience with Pulp Fiction?
I was just revolted by it. I thought it was puerile. I thought it was cheap. It lacked any kind of center that kept it compelling. It used a cheap film school storytelling gimmick, the whole circular time thing.
So you just sat there wondering what...
It was just a lot of cheap, you know, violent gags for no other sake other than to, you know, be edgy and cool and all that stupid dialogue that... I just got sick of listening to these characters open their mouths, and I just hated every second of it.
Well, you are playing the game, buddy.
Yep.
Thank you. That's how you do it. That's how you play. Am I the only one on Earth?
Glad to be of service.
Oh, thank you. Hi. 201-209-9368. Am I the only one on Earth? We're playing it right now. What is the thing that you think of where you're the only one who feels that way about a certain subject? Am I the only one on Earth who really misses Morton Downey Jr.? Am I? I miss him. I miss Morton Downey Jr. I think about him all the time. You'd think he was a relative, the amount of time I spent thinking about him. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have the trifecta.
Sure.
Am I the only one?
Sure. What's your name?
My name is Matt.
Hey, Matt, where are you calling from?
East Orange.
All right, I love it, East Orange.
Firstly, I hated Wild at Heart.
Okay. Do it in the form. Do it
like
in
the previous caller, I hated Pulp Fiction for the same reasons.
Okay, now the third one you got to do in the form of the game.
Okay. Am I the only one on Earth who has never seen E.T.?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And I mean,
you might be.
For a while, it was just I just happened to not have gone. Now I just can't go see it now.
Now you can't give in.
No, I can't.
I'm trying to think what movie, the biggest movie that I've never seen might be. I never saw Titanic.
No, I never saw that either.
I watched about a half hour of Titanic, and I was just like, ooh, this is bad. I was like, not so good. Click.
Yeah, I mean, when they use that much in terms of, like, special effects, it just looks like dollar signs to me.
That's all you can see is the hemorrhaging of money.
Yeah.
So, you hated Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You hated
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart, I felt, was just utterly contemptuous of the audience. I mean, to me, anyway. I mean, maybe I got it wrong.
But E.T., you never even saw E.T.
No.
All right, buddy. Thanks for playing.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.
201-209-9368. That's how you play Am I the Only One on Earth. Let's get some of the phones lit up now. Am I the Only One on Earth? What is the thing that you think of where you're the only one who might feel a certain way about a certain subject? Think about it. You know there's the thing that you're the only one who feels a certain way about something, and you think you're all alone. 201-209-9368. Am I the only one on Earth who would rather watch Jay Leno do his monologue than David Letterman? No, but let me finish. Because David Letterman is just awful. They're both awful. Like, Jay Leno is irredeemably awful and probably was, hardly ever good as the host of The Tonight Show, if ever. But David Letterman used to be something so special and now is just a cranky old guy. It's like Imus. Like, when did Letterman become Imus? But I will actually watch the monologue of The Tonight Show. Because it's like a look inside the worst dynamic of America. Like, we gotta make a joke about the left. We gotta make one about the right. Like, they have the scorecard going. All right, that's two Bush jokes. Now let's make sure we get a Michael Moore joke and a Hillary Clinton joke and to balance it out. Running right down the middle, and it's perversely fascinating to me. I'd rather watch it. The Letterman monologue is just cranky. FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hey there, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
My name's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, where are you calling from?
I am in a gas station in East Hanover on my way to Home Depot.
Nice. You're going to rock the depot, huh?
Yep. Proud moments, as you would say.
Well, what are you going to get?
I'm getting mousetraps, fertilizer, and grass seed.
Spring is here.
Yes, sir.
The mice are back in Jeff's house.
I'm afraid so, in force. And they ate the grass seed, so that's why I'm a little low on it.
So what would you contribute to Am I the Only One on Earth?
Okay, Tom, maybe you'd like this one. Am I the only one on Earth who thinks Some Like It Hot is A, not only not one of the funniest movies ever made, but not funny at all?
You want to know what?
Thank you very much.
I'm with you, buddy.
Do I need to sign that? Thanks.
He's
sorry, excuse
me. That's all right. No, you pay. You pay.
I was just getting the credit card.
You respect the gas attendant.
Not funny at all. You want to know what?
What's the come?
What's that?
I'm sorry, I just had to turn the radio off.
That's all right. You pay. You pay.
Okay, got it. So anyway, not funny, right? I mean, you with me on this?
Not fun. Not that fun. I would say maybe there's a couple funny-ish. You know, there's funny-ish stuff in it. That's
the
problem.
There's funny-ish stuff in a dated way.
Yeah, but it's not actually funny.
No. I mean, and what's the other thing? Like, it's supposed to have all these great lines, and Tony Curtis is supposed to be great doing Cary Grant. Sorry, no sale.
The best thing Tony Curtis ever did was when he hosted that show, Hollywood Babylon.
Oh, I like, what was the crappy show he did with Roger Moore in the early 70s?
The Persuaders?
Yeah.
That's when a judge sentences two playboys to team up and solve crimes.
That's right up there as camp classic rubbish in my book.
Well, Jeff, you drive safely and get over to Home Depot.
Thank you, sir. Bye. Talk to you later.
You should watch out for Belty. I hope that Home Depot is not haunted by Belty. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Bo in Atlanta.
Hey, Bo, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
How's Atlanta?
It's getting warmer.
So pretty soon, Atlanta is going to be, say it.
Hot Atlanta.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
You excited about the Braves?
I kind of haven't watched since 91, 92.
You excited about the Hawks?
Don't really watch the Hawks.
You excited about the... Help me here. Falcons?
Falcons, no.
You excited about the Thrashers?
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah. I hear they're on a roll.
Now, would you like to play the game?
I would. All right, so am I the only one who...
I the only one on Earth?
On Earth. Am I the only one on Earth who has extremely vivid memories of being babysat by Roy Clark from Hee Haw?
Is that really true?
It's not. I've tried to verify this with my parents, and they swear that I was never babysat by Roy Clark.
So you've got these memories that never happened.
Yes.
Now tell me about one of these memories.
So the way I remember it, they lived in a it was Roy Clark and his wife, and I think the other big Hee Haw guy was there. I'm not sure. And I don't remember.
Mel Tillis or Buck Owens?
Yeah, Buck Owens.
The late great Buck Owens.
Yeah. And Roy Clark had kind of a young wife, and now that I think about it, she was probably one of the, in my memory, she's probably one of those girls they had on the show.
Out in the cornfield.
Right, right. And I was in a trailer.
Corn has never looked so sexy.
That is true. It was like a trailer home, but at that age, I don't think I knew that trailer homes might be connected to... Mm-hmm. Hee Haw necessarily, so I'm not sure where that comes.
Were you living in a trailer home?
I wasn't. No, I was living in El Paso, Texas.
Uh huh.
When I really have this most vivid memory,
which is known as El Paso, Texas, is the
place north of Mexico.
No, it's El Paso, Texas, fourth worst city in America.
That, yeah, it was a dirty town.
Not the people of El Paso.
No,
the people,
I can attest, the people were fantastic.
The proud people. They're proud people in El Paso.
Stuck.
What's that?
Stuck.
They're stuck. Exactly.
Yeah,
got to get them out.
That's the goal.
So go on with this dream.
Go ahead.
I apologize. I talked over.
So I'm in. Like I said, it was a trailer home, and I remember being stuck in a. A playpen.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of, really wanting to get out, hearing trains go by on railroad tracks next to the house,
uh-huh.
And kind of being ignored by Roy Clark and his cornfield wife. And that's pretty much the extent of it. And my parents claim it never happened. But
I would say, did your parents know Roy Clark?
No, we have no connection.
Yeah, that's the part I think I'm going to... I think that the logic goes to your parents on that one rather than the 3-year-old version of you.
That's fair.
I'm going to say your parents were watching Hee Haw.
Right.
And maybe Petticoat Junction.
Sure.
While you slept in your crib.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair. That's all I can manage to to guess.
Well, thank you, buddy.
No problem.
You have a good night there in Atlanta.
I will.
Hi. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Christopher.
Christopher, where are you calling from?
Calling from Cranston, Rhode Island.
All right.
And I was wondering if I'm the only one in the world who has a fear of small children with adult-sized eyebrows.
Hmm. I got to digest that one for a second. Small children.
Well, between the ages of, say, 3 and 6.
Uh-huh.
But with adult eyebrows.
Like full bushy.
Yeah,
like
I mean.
Not even bushy, but like just full. Full.
You see the kid and you just think, you know, adult eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
On a child. Sort of a.
And what do you think is going to happen to you?
What do I think is going to happen? No, it's. They scare me.
They're going to get you?
It's just really...
This trilogy of terror?
It's disconcerting.
They're going to drag you into the fireplace?
It doesn't, you know, settle well with me. You know, it's a matter out of place.
And you just can't come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Now, are you a parent?
No, I'm not.
How would you feel all of a sudden you become a proud parent, right?
Sure.
And then you look one morning... Your kid runs into the room, adult eyebrows. What would you do?
I'd be out the door on the next Greyhound bus.
You'd leave your own child.
Absolutely. And the strange thing really, though, is I was a small child with regular eyebrows. I've seen pictures. But I grew into an adult man with very large eyebrows. So you might want to psychoanalyze that.
Something to think about. Something to think about. Thanks for the call. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
201-209-9368 here on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. This is the best show on WFMU here. My name is Tom Sharp. I'm taking you through till 11 p.m. We are talking about those things where you feel like you are the only person on earth who maybe feels a certain way about a certain thing. We are playing the game called, Am I the Only One on Earth? FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Ted.
Hey, Ted, how are you? Oh, Ted!
All right,
ooh.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Is this Ted?
It's me, yeah.
Teddy.
Yes.
Now, you have a dream, don't you? I heard something about this dream you had.
Oh, that's true. I did have a dream. Yeah, I want to play the game.
Let's play the game. Maybe you call back. You talk about the dream.
Okay. All right. Am I the only guy in the world who is alternately like insanely frustrated by and also made really like awkward and sad, like body image issue wise, by this current obsession with male hair, like body hair removal?
Hmm. Now, are you one who is how do you say the word?
I wouldn't say that I'm hirsute, if that's the word you're looking for.
Yes.
But I've got a little, you know, I'm part Italian, you know.
So you're not fair. You're not an Irish man.
I am. I'm both, actually.
Oh, okay.
I get the worst of both worlds.
You get the worst of both. So you have the, what is the worst of both worlds?
Like the skin that doesn't tan and uh-huh. but you know it's still kind of like I got a mono brow, you know, and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
The worst of both worlds.
It's a bummer at the beach.
Coney Island.
Yeah.
Bummer. It's a bummer at the Siren Festival.
Yeah, it can be rough, you know.
So are you the only person suffering from that?
Well, no. What I'm saying is there was a time when like you know, stars or just, like, studly guys or whatever, you know, they could, you know, Burt Reynolds didn't wax his chest hair, right?
No.
I mean, he was at one point in time considered a desirable adult man.
Yes, he was the sexiest man alive.
Right. So, but it seems like every time, I mean, maybe this is just a youth thing because I have to say, I was about to say every time I flip past like MTV or something where there's lots of shirtless guys on, you know?
Yeah.
There's not, it's completely, everyone's bare.
You want to know what, though? What? Those guys might have a 2 in front of their age.
That's true.
You got a three in front of you.
I got a three in front of me.
You got a three.
That's true.
You know what, though? Yeah. Those guys, you don't worry about those guys.
Yeah.
What do they do? They dance around, right?
Yeah, they dance around, yeah.
They act like jerks.
Parade around, yeah. Same old story, I guess.
Exactly. You know what you do? You trust the guys who keep their shirts on.
Right.
You trust the guys who can actually do something. Guy with dancing around with no shirt on. What's he gonna do? What's he gonna do when he's got a three in front of his age?
Good point.
You know, though, am I the only guy on earth who sees like this new crop of like of guys? Like I was on the island of Staten the other day, and there's these guys who just like the guys who used to be on Staten Island, the youth on Staten Island.
Right.
Seems like they used to be having a good old time. You know what I mean? Like it was the they would be into disco and be having fun and like they were just crazy good old guys. You know, yeah. Like they were buddies.
Fresher than like Manhattan.
Exactly.
But growing up, yeah.
But now it seems like they're trying to look so hard. These guys, like they were all tough guys. Like they were all like pretending to be on The Sopranos or something, like little Paulie on The Sopranos, the kid from Doogie Howser who's on The Sopranos now.
I think that's everywhere, man.
But they were like, we were eating at this restaurant, and there was a tanning salon next to the restaurant, and there were these guys hanging out in front of the restaurant, in front of the tanning salon, acting so tough, and it was like, guys, it's Sunday. And you're hanging out in front of a tanning salon. How tough could you really be? They were trying to make like they were running things. It's like, you know what? You're running. You're probably running the Office Max across the street.
Yeah, I bet you none of them had chest hair.
I bet you none of them did. But you know what? When they have threes in front of their age, you know what they're going to have? Big, fat guts. Right?
I'd be wishing for a little covering, maybe.
You see Teddy on stage. What size T-shirt do you wear? This guy's in shape. This guy's like Charles Atlas up there, kicking sand in the face of his audience.
Yeah.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Tony.
What?
It's Tony.
Tony? Hey, Ted?
Tony!
Tony and Ted.
No, who's this?
Who's this? I think I lost both of them. Tony. Yeesh. We're playing Am I the Only One on Earth? I accidentally hung up on Teddy. We'll talk to him later. He's got to talk about a dream he had. When I say Teddy, it's Ted Leo. It's a rock star. We got rock stars calling this show now. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have one. Am I the only one that has a couple
On Earth.
Excuse me. Am I the only one on Earth that feels he has to see rock bands, three or more rock bands, that begin with each letter of the alphabet three or more times each?
Now, that is one that you might be the only one on Earth about. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'm working on it. You name a letter of the alphabet.
R.
I've seen the Rolling Stones many more times than three. Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Ramones. I've seen each of those bands three or more times.
And do you feel like compulsion to see them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I've seen bands like I probably wouldn't have gone back and seen.
To round it out to the number three.
Three bands for each letter of the alphabet three or more times.
The letter M.
Okay, we have Mountain, Moody Blues, and the Manhattans.
The Manhattans?
Yeah, I mean, there's two other ones, like Motorhead and Motley Crue I'm one away from. You know, I'm going to upgrade. I upgrade as well.
So is this Motley Crue one driving you nuts?
I'm pretty sure we'll see them out again. So
it's like the fact that you've only seen them twice right now, is that eating at you?
Oh, there's a whole the Van Halen one. I've only seen Van Halen twice. That one's eating at me because I don't know if they'll tour again.
Now, how about the? Don't worry, you'll get out there and see Van Halen. That radio show's going.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's even money. Which one comes first, the Van Halen tour or the 4th of July? So the letter H.
Okay, I've seen Hot Tuna 4 times.
Ugh.
I've seen Heart 3 times.
What made you see Hot Tuna the 4th time? You're done after 3. Why'd you go back for a 4th?
Well, I was doing another one, and they were playing that show, I believe.
Oh, okay. So Hot Tuna.
The band was playing, and that was one of the B's, but I got so many B's covered, I usually don't use them to represent the letter B.
Hot Tuna,
yeah, Heart, and I only saw Herman's Hermits once. You know, I might get another H because I've only seen them once, though.
So. You want to know what I'm going to say, buddy?
What's that?
Congratulations. Yes. You literally are the only one on Earth doing this.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, my friends all think I'm nuts. Everything else is pretty cool, but I have to do this.
You got your things. Everybody's got their things. It's a hard life. It's a hard life to get through. You're doing okay.
I've got another one that's close. You name, not so much 3 times, you name a letter from the alphabet. I've seen an original incarnation of each band, except for maybe 4 letters.
Okay, the letter S.
Okay, Sex Pistols.
You saw the original?
Yeah, now keep in mind, Sid Vicious was not the original.
Okay, so you're going. So you saw them play in like Atlantic City.
I saw them at the Roseland.
Okay, now the letter T.
Well, Twisted Sister, and you know I saw them, but I mean, the original, and who else? 10 years after, I have seen the original with Alvin Lee as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I saw 10 years after without Alvin Lee.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I wasn't for me, though. I saw them with Alvin.
Well, buddy, I congratulate you. You maybe have just, if this game was a casino, you'd be doing a dance right now. Because the little siren would be going off over your slot machine.
Oh, yeah, I'm like work, you know, and I found out, like, other, you know, like, I'm not too far away from each letter of the alphabet 4 times each letter. Not 4 times each band, but like, you know, say a letter, say C, I saw Chicago 4 times, or letter S, I've seen Santana 5 times. X is a problem. X is a problem.
Where are you at on X?
I have seen the band X only once. I need 8 more shows to complete the letter X. X is a problem.
Now, do you feel any compulsion to maybe see bands that you like rather than bands? Like, if there was a band playing one night that you liked, and there's another band playing that had a letter that would close out, like a name that would close out a letter, which would you see?
I had a conflict with that in the last couple of years, actually. I was gonna like, letter C, right now I have Chicago, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and the Shy Lights.
The Shy Lights?
Exactly. I need one more for Cheap Trick, though. A friend of mine had tickets to the Doors, went and saw that. If I didn't go see the Doors, I would have, you know, had to upgrade on the Cheap
Trick.
You would
have closed out the letter C.
Yeah, like in a proper fashion. So the answer to that question is, yeah, it has been a conflict.
Well, try to enjoy the music, buddy. Try to enjoy it. Don't play this game all the time.
Well, you know what happened is, like, I was very close, and it started off as a joke, and then the next thing you know,
you're full on in the game.
And I have too many people rooting for me. They're like, how far are you away?
You want to know what I'm going to root for? You to enjoy yourself, not to. Not to play some game. Trust me, those people don't have to go watch the Shy Lights play. They're not the ones going to see the Manhattans. You're the one who's actually got to buy the ticket and see the show.
The lucky thing is those bands like the Shy Lights, the Manhattans, and the Stylistics, they all play like all at the same time. So you can knock them all off within an hour. They play about like...
So
you know,
one evening, you get them over.
Yeah, that's another thing. You can knock off a bunch like that, you know.
All right, buddy. It's very fascinating. I appreciate it.
Bye. Okay, keep up the great work. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, is this Tom Sharpling?
Yeah, it is. Who's this?
My name is Joey Garvone. Have you ever heard of me, sir?
Joey Garvone.
Yes, I frequent the David Lee Roth show, and I find it to be a little boring, so I happened to turn on my radio tonight, and I checked you out on the internet, and I'm a gentleman that owns many establishments around the tri-state area, you know, for gentlemen. And we spoke about this on the Roth show, and David was very interested in me personally. However, I hear a lot about you, so I've decided to embark on your show to be a character.
You know what, though? I don't double dip, son. You're a Roth guy. You're a Roth guy for life. Get off my phone! Roth guy. I don't need that bum's table scraps. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, all right? Who's this?
This is Stephanos from the Isle of Staten.
How are things on the Isle of Staten?
Pretty... I don't know. You know what else they're going to have after they're 30?
Hell's Hollywood. Yeah?
Skin cancer.
That's right, too, from the tanning salons.
That's right.
You out on Highland Boulevard right now?
I'm on the way to a show, but I'm not exactly. I just passed the Verrazano Bridge.
You cruising?
I'm on the air to play the game.
You cruising the boulevard? You gonna head over, grab some ice cream over at Sedudo's? Grab some ice cream at Sedudo's, go over to Jim Hanley's, check out some comic books?
Bro, you see those chicks over there? What you doing, bro? I would totally do them, bro.
Let's play the game.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Okay, let's play it, Stefan.
Am I the only one in the world that at one point...
It's the only one on Earth.
Am I the only one on Earth who at some point in their life thought that Sandra Bernhard was hot?
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Oh, well.
I'll own that one.
It was worth a shot.
You did it. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Hi.
Later.
I'm with you on that one. I thought she was interesting. Looking. Guy calling up, David Lee Roth guy. You're a David Lee Roth guy, you stay on David Lee Roth's show. I don't need you. We do things differently here. There's a class act over here. It's a class act. It's a top-notch show. The show's top-notch over here. It's top-shelf stuff. This show's top-shelf. This is the stuff at the alcohol store you see up there on the top shelf. This is not the cheap stuff you can grab off the shelf and stick in your coat. It's the good stuff. It's a tentpole show. It's a tentpole show. WFMU's a tent, a tentpole. This is a tentpole show. The tent don't stand without the tentpole. 201-209-9368 is the number. We are playing the game. Am I the only one on Earth which seems to be a runaway success? Exactly. It's a family show. It's a family show. We do stuff for the kids here. I don't need some prevert calling from some gentleman establishment. I want some guy calling up polluting the airwaves, talking about doing dirty talk. It's not dirty talk time. It's clean talk. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is DJ Terry T.
Hey, it's DJ Terry T. How are you? Host of the Cherry Blossom Clinic, which can be heard each and every Saturday on WFMU from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, am I the only one on Earth that's going to have the Black Hollies play live on her show this Saturday between 3 and 6 p.m.
Oh, boy.
The white-hot Black Hollies, three-quarters of the Rye Coalition, with a slamming drummer, sounding like a Yardbirds, Who, Kinks, Cream mix, smoking. Mm. Am I the only one on Earth that's going to have the Black Hollies playing live on our show? I think yes.
Can I ask you one? Am I the only one on Earth...
Yes.
With a show here on WFMU, who you're going to do that to?
I actually did that to Joe Belock.
Today?
So there you go. Sorry.
You did it today?
Emailed him today. And I asked him to please. Because you know what? I'm very late on sending my blurbs to the Station of the Nation.
Uh-huh.
Very late. I had some surgery.
Yes.
So I'm very, I'm slow on the uptap, very slow. You know, like I'm just, it's hard for me to sit up.
How are you feeling, by the way?
I'm feeling, Vicodin. I just need the Vicodin.
Better or worse, though?
Oh, better than from before, sure.
Okay, good.
You know, that Stefano from Staten Island, you should have really grilled him some more. Get some more SI info. Staten Island, man.
It's not that fascinating on Staten Island. I think I got my feeling.
Well, he was going to a show. Where was he going? Was he going to a show on Staten Island, or was he, curious? I don't know. Anywho. All right, that's it. So this Saturday.
Everybody.
6 p.m. Check out live music from the Black Hollies. Black Hollies. Hello? Am I the only one on Earth that... Goodbye.
Oh, everybody, check it out on WFMU this Saturday. Black Hollies, live on Terry T's show. People say I like these T words with two syllables. Tall bike, top shelf, tent pole. I can't help it. The show's top shelf. I can't help it. The show's a tent pole show. You want me to be ashamed? I'm not going to be ashamed. Are the guys from Part Chip ashamed at how hard they rock? Wait, that should have worked. Oh, that was right there. Couldn't you feel that, Mike? Oh, that was perfect. You know what, though? Since I messed up the cue, I can't do it. There's no way I can go into a Part Chip record now and just talk about how hard they rock and then... bounce into something. It's going to sound stupid. You know what I tried to do? I was going to try to play this Part Chimp record, talk about it, then boom, hit the Part Chimp record, hit the wrong button. I end up looking like a clown now. Look like a clown. Oh, I wish the Part Chimp record would play. WFMU. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show on WFMU here. On the only station that does what we do here. WFMU. And if this is the best show on WFMU, and if WFMU is the best radio station on Earth, that makes me the best DJ on Earth. Unfortunately, WFMU is not the best radio station on Earth. Wah, wah. That honor goes to WAWZ in Zarephath, New Jersey. We just heard from the Cuts from their hot album From Here On Out. We heard Stop Asking. How good are the Cuts? The Kent 3 before that from the Screaming Youth Fantastic album. We heard Polyclinic put out quite a while ago by the Bag of Hammers label. And something brand new from Part Chimp. The album's called I Am Come, and we heard a song called Hello, Baby. There you go. On the Monitor label, Part Chimp, this album is hot. Hot stuff, Jack. 201-209-9368. We'll do some open phone Tuesday. Maybe play a little bit more of Am I the Only One on Earth? Where you tell me the little thing you notice where you maybe are the only one on Earth who feels that way about it. FMU, you're on the air. Oh, hold on. FMU, you're on the air.
Carl, it's Larry.
Oh, this is Carl.
We need J-146 and J-147. That fat bitch and her stupid husband said that they got a call from their sitter, and the kids are going nuts at home, and they got to bail on the rest of the party.
This is Tom.
Carl?
No, this is not Carl. This is Tom.
Who is this?
Tom.
I was calling Carl.
Well, you must have misdialed. This is Tom. You called a radio station. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show.
Where's Larry?
There's no Larry here. My name's Tom. I'm the host. Who's this?
This is Larry.
This is Larry.
Where's Carl?
Where's Carl? I don't know a Carl or Larry.
Ugh. I must have misdialed. I was trying to call Carl.
Well, you must have misdialed. Well, who is Carl?
From Mr. Kochek.
Carl from Mr. Kochek?
Yes.
What is Mr. Kochek?
Only the biggest freelance Kochek-ing business in America, basically.
Freelance coat checking.
Yeah.
You mean like coat checking in a restaurant?
Or big parties.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm at right now.
You're at a party, and yeah. What is your coat check?
I'm running a coat check at a party, jerk.
Oh, so you work for this place?
No, I am the place.
So you are Mr.
Carl's my employee.
Okay, so you are Mr. Coat Check.
I am Mr. Coat Check.
Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Coat Check, apparently you misdialed.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. So what you said freelance?
I'll see you later.
What?
I said I'll see you later.
Okay, I'll talk. But let me. You said freelance coat check.
Yeah.
What is a freelance coat check?
What do you mean? We get hired by people, parties, functions, companies to go and set up a coat check area, and their esteemed guests come and they check their coats.
Uh huh.
And I run it.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense.
I pull in 7 figures a year.
Really?
What do you pull in?
Less than that.
I figured.
Yeah. Well, you know, money's not everything.
Well.
What?
I disagree.
Yeah. I would disagree with you then.
Well.
I, you know, whatever. You know, you're making a lot of money at it. Good for you.
That's right.
So, like, you work all through there.
I'll see you later.
What?
I'll see you later.
Okay. Oh, wait. I'm actually kind of intrigued by this. Do you have a minute?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You do coach for, like, for parties, you said.
All kinds of functions, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah. What kind of parties?
All kinds of stuff. Well, you know, this isn't like the old days when, you know, there was a Kochek in every kind of restaurant, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, basically, I'm a freelance guy, and if someone's having a party, et cetera, like I said before, I get hired, I come, I set up a whole thing. We maintain and collect your gloves, jackets, hats, coats. Everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I've done stuff for Apple, RGR Nabisco, VH1, Puma, Revlon. Just did this big thing for Blender magazine.
Really?
Like check Lindsay Lohan's coat.
Okay. Was it a nice coat?
Oh, it was a great coat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Little known fact.
Yeah?
Lindsay loves Altoids. Also has a Starskin Hutch keychain.
So... What, you went through her pockets and found coat stuff? Like,
wait,
like
what?
Like you found a keychain and Altoids in her coat?
Found? You accusing me of going into the pockets of a patron?
Well, how else would you have found that out?
I don't go through the pockets.
Uh-huh.
No, you see, sometimes the coat gets dropped and things fall out.
Uh-huh.
Or the pockets somehow get turned inside out.
Yeah.
And you can't help notice stuff that falls on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You don't ever, you're not the one, well, how does a coat get held upside down?
You never know. It gets jostled. It gets kind of bumped.
Uh-huh.
Twindled.
Twindled?
That's a term that we use in the coat check business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I apologize.
Twindling, reverse twindling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if a coat gets twindled, things fall out of the pocket, and you kind of see what's in the... What hits the floor?
And that's when it turns into no man's land.
It's no man. Okay.
Finders keepers.
You don't put the stuff back in the coat pocket?
Not if it hits the floor, no.
Really?
Rarely.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is that?
because that's the rule of the coat check world.
So if something falls out of a coat that you're
on
checking...
On the floor.
Uh-huh.
It's yours.
On the floor, it's yours. Well, if you're...
No, on the floors. It's yours.
What is that?
That's the time you count off.
What is that, like 6 seconds?
Something like that, yeah.
So if something
hits... 6 and a quarter.
What?
6 and a quarter, technically.
Oh, 6 and a quarter seconds. So if something hits the floor...
Yeah.
It's yours, but what? How does the person whose coat it is have any chance to claim it if they've only got 6 seconds?
Well, they've got the 6 seconds to check it.
Uh-huh.
And if I can't help it if they're on the dance floor boogieing by then.
Yeah, but you're kind of working for them, though.
Well, they should know the rules. Hey, you don't have any ins in the publishing world, do you?
No. Well, I'm just kind of a DJ. I really, why is that?
Well, I just finished this book.
Uh-huh.
Well, my story. It's kind of like a coffee table book, but also my story. It's called The Coats I've Checked.
So you wrote it. You've actually got a book about this.
Yeah.
What is it, like Mr. Coat Check? The Coats I Checked by Mr. Coat Check?
Basically, but I don't use that name.
Okay. What is your full name?
Larry Smurthwaite. Why?
Larry Smurthwaite.
Yeah.
Okay. So, The Coats I've Checked by Larry Smurthwaite.
A lot of it is kind of celebrity heavy.
Uh-huh.
Talk about the famous people whose coats I've checked. Harrison Ford.
Wow, Harrison Ford's coat.
Yeah.
You checked Harrison Ford's...
I did. It was super nice leather. Ralph Lauren.
So it was a Ralph Lauren jacket.
Really expensive.
Uh-huh.
Andy Griffith.
Okay. Well, what kind of coat did he have?
High-quality tweed.
Uh-huh.
Hootie.
Hootie, the guy from Hootie and the Blowfish?
Say what you will about their music.
Yeah.
The guys had nice coats.
Now, is he a nice guy?
All of them. I checked all of them.
Yeah, and they're all nice people?
See, you're one of those guys who thinks that Hootie is one guy. I could tell right then.
Well, you called him Hootie. His name's Darius
Rucker. No, I said Hootie as in the band.
Oh, you checked the whole band?
Of course I did.
Okay, so the whole band came to a function. And you checked all four of their coats.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good guys?
All but the bass player.
Okay.
Dean.
Uh-huh.
Weird.
All right.
You don't want to know what I found in his pocket.
What do you mean, how'd you find something in his
pocket?
Well,
it turned over and it popped out.
I have a feeling you're turning these coats over.
No, I'm not.
No?
Jason Alexander.
Yeah?
Keeps a car air freshener in his coat pocket.
Huh, that's kind of weird.
Those pine things?
Yeah.
And I also...
Like an opened one or one still sealed?
It was about a quarter done, you know, how you can pull the plastic off, like, each little branch?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first one.
So he's actually, like, maintaining it?
Oh, yeah. You've got to at his stature.
So that your coat stays, smells like a nice pine air freshener.
Yeah. Actually, I think his was vanilla bean.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
The weirdest coat I ever did.
Yeah.
This guy named G.G. Allen.
G.G. Allen. You checked G.G. Allen's coat.
I worked briefly at this place called the Pyramid Club.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And his coat was smeared with what appeared to be chocolate.
Oh, I don't even want to.
Which always struck me as odd. Nice enough guy, though.
Really? He was a nice enough guy?
Yeah.
Did he tip?
It wasn't so much a tip as, like, a food stuff.
Ugh, I don't even want to talk about
it. Looked like a couple goobers.
I don't even want to know. But it was a nice enough guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
You know what?
What's that?
You never forget the first celebrity that you check.
Really? Who was your first celebrity?
Mine was Billy Barty.
Billy Barty,
yep.
the famous actor who was a famous little person.
It was a camel hair overcoat. Oh, my God, this thing was gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
This was at a party that Gene Wilder was throwing in Manhattan back in 81.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so great. I actually still have the coat.
You still have the coat?
Yeah.
How do you still have the coat?
Well, I pretended that someone stole it.
Well, why would you do that?
Because I wanted it.
So you stole his coat.
Yeah. Oh, he got so mad. But, like, what was he going to do, beat me up? He's, like, 2'8".
Well, that's terrible.
Oh, don't worry. I ended up reimbursing him.
Yeah?
The coat was, like, $350, which was a lot back then.
Uh-huh.
But luckily, between the money I found in Joe Beth Williams and Charles Grodin's coats, I had enough. And then some.
Oh, my God. So let me just get this straight. This is you're throwing a lot at me here. You basically check Billy Barty's coat.
Si.
At a party.
Si.
Si. So you're answering in Spanish.
Si.
Okay.
Ja.
Now that is, what is ja?
Like German.
German.
Holland, I don't know.
Holland, yeah. So you're answering in Holland now. So Billy Barty checks his coat. At a party thrown by Gene Wilder that you were hired to work.
I was co-checking. I was hired to co-check.
Now, you're getting paid, I'm sure, a nice fee to work this party.
I prefer to use the word hefty.
Hefty. So you're getting a hefty fee.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, do you care to say how much?
For that night, I got there at 5. I left at 1 a.m. It was 5 figures.
Wow.
Yeah.
For just 8 hours work.
I'm that good.
Yeah, I'm sure coat checking is such a challenge. That
was dripping with sarcasm.
Pretty much.
You know what you're going to be dripping with?
What's that?
Guess.
I have no idea.
Blood. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to this. So you check Billy Barty's coat.
Yep.
You decide to steal it because it's so
I
nice.
I did not. It fell out.
It fell. What fell out?
The coat.
What fell out?
Nothing. The coat fell out of the coat.
The coat fell out of the coat.
Essentially, yeah.
So the coat, what? The coat hit the ground?
Yeah.
And now you're claiming. So, well, that's like a new wrinkle. If the coat's hitting the ground and you own the coat.
Well, makes sense, doesn't it?
So you steal his coat.
That's the law of the coat room.
The law of. Yeah. Now, to cover the expense of this coat you ostensibly stole, you paid with money you took from whose pockets? Charles Grodin?
And Joe Beth Williams. And I didn't take it from them. The money fell onto the floor.
Uh-huh.
And sat there for 6 and a quarter seconds.
Uh-huh. So that's how you got that money.
Yeah.
So you reimbursed Billy Barty with money that fell out of, and I'm going to put fell out of in quotes.
But that wasn't all that fell out of those pockets.
Uh-huh. What else fell out?
Marching powder.
What's that?
Bolivian marching powder.
So, what is that? Coke?
Yeah. That was the night I got my first taste of the White Lady.
Cocaine.
And we've had a tumultuous love affair ever since.
Ugh. So you found some coke out of a coat pocket, right?
It wasn't just some.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot.
So you started doing coke in the coat room that night.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I loved it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you lied about, so you did somebody's coke. I'm not even sure whose.
Hey, it was finders keepers. And I should say, you know, if stuff like nose candy or Mary Jane falls out,
uh-huh,
I am obligated to tell the police.
Uh-huh. So, do you?
No.
But you're obligated to.
I am, but I don't have to. I mean,
what do you think?
Hey, my drugs are missing?
What do you think obligated means?
What do you mean?
How do you know you're obligated to tell the police?
That's what it says in the bylaws.
The bylaws.
Yeah.
So it tells you in the bylaws that you have to report a like drugs that fall out of a coat.
Yeah, but it's optional as to whether or not you're actually going to carry that through.
Well, how are you obligated to do it, but it's optional?
It's just part of the bylaws of the NUCCW.
The NUCCW, what's that stand for?
The National Union of Coat Check Workers.
So you're unionized.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm the shop steward.
You're the shop steward of the coat checking union.
Yeah.
So the drugs fall out of a coat. You start doing coke. And now you, but you don't report it. You just do the drugs, I'm assuming.
I don't need to. The last thing a celebrity wants is for me to report that. They don't want someone babbling to the tabloids about how some Kochek guy found drugs in their pocket.
Uh-huh. Well, what if the Kochek guy happened to just put the drugs back in their pocket then if
he
they fell out?
He wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Because it fell on the floor for six and a quarter seconds.
Uh-huh, because it's the some rule you're making up.
Well, on the odd event that they actually do catch me doing it,
uh-huh,
then it's a whole nother level.
What do you mean by a whole nother level?
Well, I'll often pretend that I can't speak English.
Uh-huh.
And that if they don't buy that, then I act like someone close to me's just died.
Uh-huh.
And the people that lost the stuff were missing. They don't yell at me.
Okay, so if I'm like Charles Grodin, I'm like, hey, where'd my money go?
Yeah.
What's your go-to move?
First thing is to pretend that I don't speak English.
Uh-huh. So what would it be like? Hey, Kochek guy, where's my, I had $700 in this coat. Where is it?
Hey, amino, comprendo, para tu, con leche.
Is it leche coffee? Or milk?
No. And then that doesn't swing them.
Uh-huh.
And I say that my wife just bit it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I start crying.
And then they'd forget it.
They usually end up either letting it go or they sue the company that hired me.
Uh-huh. So they're suing the company.
If their coats get lost.
What's that?
If their coats get lost.
And you own that company.
No, the company that hires me is like Puma or PH1.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So they sue that company.
Yeah.
And they get their money back through them.
Exactly.
Now, why don't people sue you, though?
Because they can't, because of the union.
Oh, okay.
And also, by the time they would file papers, I'd change the name of my company.
So you just changed the name of your coat check company.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this is pretty sleazy stuff you're kind of trading in here.
But if the people go after me,
uh-huh,
the union comes on strong. And then before you know it, the truckers who bring the food, the caterers, the cleanup crews, they all pull out of the party.
Oh, so it's like a little bit of a union racket you have
great,
going on.
Isn't it? That's America in a nutshell.
So, yeah, what a great system.
I love it.
You steal stuff. Somebody tries
it.
What?
I find it. I can't help it if they don't put things solidly away in their pockets.
So you steal the stuff. Somebody tries to get their thing rightfully back, and then you threaten to have the parties shut down, like the next Revlon party.
You obviously hate unions, union hater.
I don't hate unions at all. I hate that, though.
Well,
I mean, you must. There's no way that you're not getting somebody really getting in your face, though, about this.
Well, sometimes. I mean, geez, you're sounding like Bill Walton right now.
Bill Walton? You mean the basketball player?
Yeah.
How am I sounding like him?
My last run-in with a creep.
Yeah.
He was kind of a douche to me at the CSPN party.
Bill Walton was.
Yeah, I was working it.
Okay.
You know, he gave me that, if anything bad happens to this coat, it's your funeral kind of stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just done several rails at that point, and there's no way I was going to take this guy's S hit. So later on, I planted some of the white lady in his sport coat pocket. And I called the cops.
Oh, my God.
He got taken out by the cops in front of everyone.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was great, including Julius Erving.
That's terrible.
Larry Bird.
So you...
And Rodman.
Oh, my God.
And Magic.
Wow. So you just
great.
took a guy who's in the top 50 all-time greats for the NBA and just got him arrested.
He worked my nerve.
By telling you not to do anything to his coat.
Oh, if you had heard the two that this guy was exuding,
uh-huh,
you would have done the same or worse.
And you sitting there completely buzzed on blow, You had no. You maybe were not the most objective person.
Well, all I know is how I saw it.
Uh huh. And how did you see it?
I saw it like he was coming at me.
What do you mean he was coming? You mean by telling you not to lose his coat?
No, he was literally coming at me with a machete. In my mind, that's how I saw it. I realize now that he wasn't carrying one.
So you're having some sort of drug freak out, or what? I mean,
probably a combination of that and the E.
Oh, so you were...
And the crystal meth.
Oh, my God. So you're weed. Just... And then the weed. Anything else?
Vodka.
Oh, so you're drunk and high on about
wine.
Five... What?
Wine.
Whoa. So you're mixing alcohol. That's usually beer. Enough. Beer.
I don't know if cider counts as not beer, but something else, but I had that too.
So you had beer, wine, cider, and vodka.
I think you're missing a couple things, too.
Uh-huh. Like what else?
Rum. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, my God, but that reminds me of these wild days.
Uh-huh.
That I had in the early 80s.
Okay.
The craziest party I ever did.
Sure. What was
it? And this is going to be in the book, too.
Okay.
Do you remember back in the early mid-80s when Procter & Gamble had that logo controversy?
Like their logo is like a moon and stars or something?
It is the moon, but the moon's kind of made to look like this old man.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's looking at the stars, and people were kind of like speculating as to whether or not it was some kind of like satanic thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out it is a satanic thing.
I kind of lost. You mean the
I was hired to do this Procter & Gamble party.
Yeah.
This is like 84.
Uh-huh.
85. And this was like a party for all the higher-ups at Procter & Gamble. And it took place out in the woods in Ohio. This thing was a full-on ritual.
Really?
Priests, debauchery. I don't know if it was real or not, but I swear they sacrificed this chick.
Oh my!
It was wild.
So you're at this. Is this you're at this thing?
Yeah.
Well, who's what coats are you checking at this?
I'm checking their regular overcoats, and I'm giving them like these capes.
Oh my God!
Black capes, yeah.
And they actually these are all executives.
Executives, yeah. Venom played.
So they had Venom play this thing as a corporate gig.
I was doing rails with Kronos.
From Venom.
Their singer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still in touch.
You're still in touch with the guy from Venom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Lost touch with Abaddon, though.
Who's Abaddon?
The drummer.
Uh-huh.
You work at a radio station?
Yeah, oh, sorry, I didn't remember.
You play drums for Venom?
You're right. Sorry, I missed that reference immediately.
Hey, speaking of music.
Yeah?
I also, in this book, I touch on my days as the co-check guy. At CBGB's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know who Hilly is?
Yes, Hilly Crystal.
The owner.
Yeah.
He used to hire me to check coats.
Uh-huh.
And the big gig, he said, hey, Larry, I want to hire you for all summer. This was back in 84.
Uh-huh.
I want you to check coats at the Sunday Hardcore Matinee. I was super excited.
Now, why would he hire you to check coats at a hardcore show?
Well, it makes sense, you know, because guys come to these sex shows and they're wearing their overcoats. At least I assume that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like this hardcore porno thing.
No, it's hardcore music.
Yeah, they call it hardcore punk rock and roll.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that or just hardcore.
Okay.
So you're the coat check at CBGB's.
Yeah. I didn't dig the music at all, but I actually did end up getting to like a lot of the guys who came to the show.
Uh-huh. Like who?
Well, like I checked coats for mainly leather jackets for like Vinny from Agnostic Front, all the Ramones except Tommy, James Hetfield. JFK Jr. came one day.
Really? You checked his coat?
He came to check out 7 Seconds.
Uh-huh.
I checked his coat.
What, a nice coat?
I had it for 3 minutes, and then he was gone. He hated it.
He hated the show.
Yeah.
Came back and got his coat probably before you could do anything to the coat.
It's like a J. Crew thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you didn't get a chance to turn that coat upside down.
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah, nothing was in it, though.
Okay.
Pack of matches.
Wow. So they. So who in all your experiences? You've been a Kochek guy for how many years?
Well, I started in 80. Actually, I started in 79. Yeah.
So in all those years, who had the nicest coat?
Oh, man, nicest coats. Keith Richards. Let me think. Scott Wieland. Robert Downey Jr. Chuck Negron. Three Dog Night. Sly Stone.
Wow, there's a pattern here.
What do you mean?
I'd say it sounds like all these people might have had controlled substances in their coats.
You know, come to think of it, I do recall finding stuff on the floor those nights that those guys did come to the places I was checking coats at. Yeah.
Well, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
So you just happened to get, you happened to like the coats of Chuck Negron.
They were high quality coats. Oh my God, real top shelf stuff.
But they somehow they kept getting turned upside down.
Yeah, a lot of them do. I'll tell you what, the weirdest coat I ever did, who belonged to a celebrity.
Yeah.
Fred Stallone.
Who's that?
Fred Stallone.
Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
Frank Stallone.
No, Fred Stallone.
Who's Fred Stallone?
He's the youngest Stallone.
So there's like Sylvester Stallone.
We call him Sly.
Sly. Frank Stallone.
Frank, we call him Frank.
What do you call him?
We call him Frank.
Frank.
Yeah.
And then there's Fred Stallone.
Yeah.
I never heard about Fred Stallone.
Well, there's a good reason.
What's that?
He is out there.
What do you mean?
Well, he hands me his coat, and it gets turned over.
Uh-huh.
And it was filled with Skittles.
Well,
thousands of them. Loose.
Uh-huh.
I still do not get it.
So all these Skittles just spill out all over the floor.
Super weird.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going back memory lane here.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget after I told Hilly that I didn't want to do the hardcore matinees anymore.
Yeah.
He put me on the night shift.
Okay.
This is around 85.
Uh-huh.
And I started doing these cool nighttime shows at CB's, like... you've never heard of these bands, and I'm sure they kind of broke up afterwards. Camper Van Beethoven.
Yeah, I know who they are.
A band called Dinosaur Jr.
Sure, good band.
Scruffy the Cat.
Uh-huh.
Boy Dog Pondering, bands like that.
Uh-huh.
I was doing the night shift there, and, you know, there was no snow during those hardcore matinees, but let me just say that those nights, I was skiing downhill every night.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of lot of people doing drugs at Camper Van Beethoven shows.
Let me just say that people were calling the Kochek room the ski lodge.
Okay.
And they were calling me the railroad captain.
Because you're doing
doing rails is slang for, you know, doing that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of followed you.
Oh, I'll never forget one night.
Yeah.
Guess who came to CB's?
Who?
Rick Ocasek.
Uh-huh.
Guess who he came with?
His wife?
Yeah.
Paulina Porizkova?
Oh, yeah.
And well, this is sounds kind of gross,
man.
Already. And what happened?
Oh, I mean, you think she's hot on those posters that you buy?
Uh-huh.
That you bought when you were a kid?
I didn't buy them, but I'm
Wait,
with you.
Wait, what?
Okay.
I did.
So you bought... You bought posters of Paulina Porizkova.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't?
No.
Okay, getting a clear image of you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry I didn't buy... Sorry I wasn't running my life like I lived in a dorm room.
Well, all I can say is...
How old are you,
by the way? I bought a picture of a semi-naked woman, and you didn't... I don't know, what'd you buy, like a science poster?
Yeah, I bought a poster with all the different table
poster.
Of the elements.
Did you buy the nerd poster?
Yeah, it was.
It had the booger vault on it.
Yeah, that's what I had.
That's what I thought. Anyway, getting back to Paula.
Paulina.
Oh, she's hot.
Uh huh.
Paula.
Paulina.
Paulina, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You sound like a huge fan.
Big fan of her body, yes. Anyway, I'm so gagged at this point.
Yeah.
I just couldn't help myself.
Ugh.
I had to get romantic with her coat.
Oh, well, I didn't want to know about...
The worst part.
No.
There's the worst part.
What?
She came back to get some cigs out of her pocket, and she caught me
okay.
in the act.
Okay, that's all I wanted to... That's enough.
Guess who ended up getting fired?
Who?
Me.
You, of course.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you...
Oh, it was wild.
You said it as if it was going to be somebody other than you.
Yeah, I was surprised that you took so long to get it.
Well, you're like, guess who got fired, as if it's any mystery.
Oh, do you think Rick's going to get fired?
No, I don't know. Is you going to blame it on some other employee or something?
Well, I got to say, Rick seemed super cool in those Cars videos.
Uh-huh.
Not that night.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. I wonder why he wasn't so cool.
He was so bummed.
Yeah.
He was madder than a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty mad.
It was bad. But you know...
Yeah?
I've actually gotten very romantic with the coats of many sexy celebs.
I don't want to know. Just give me some names real quick, but don't give me any details.
Off the top of my head, Lonnie Anderson, Terry Hatcher, Gillian Anderson, Charo, Jessica Alba, all of the 99 Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, Shirley Manson, Oprah Winfrey, Joss Stone, John Madden, Erica Christensen, the Bengals, Bonnie Raitt, Barbara Bush.
Barbara?
Yeah.
Barbara Bush.
Laura Bush.
Yeah.
Jenna.
Oh.
Yeah. I did a White House gig.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's horrifying.
Let me just say that Laura would have a bird if she knew what I did to that parka.
I don't even want to. You can't even talk about it. Stop. Don't even talk about it, buddy. So you
quite
really,
a life, huh?
It's some adventures. This book must be something else.
You know what's going to be something more else?
What's that?
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Yeah.
What is Lighthouse?
It's a screenplay I've written.
Uh-huh.
And it's getting made this year.
It's a movie you wrote is getting made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's Lighthouse about?
Well, I'll give it to you in a nutshell, okay? It's about this guy, Greg. And he's the best and toughest coat check guy in New York.
Uh-huh.
And he works in this really classy restaurant called the Crystal Room.
Okay.
And he's always stopping fights with these mob guys and all the while getting it on with these super hot chicks in the coat room.
Uh-huh.
He's like this coat check god.
Okay, so he's like a really great coat check guy.
Super hot, too.
Uh-huh.
Well... One day he gets a call from Michael.
Okay, who's Michael?
Michael's the guy that taught him the coat check ropes back when he first started.
Uh-huh.
And Michael's opened up this new restaurant in Western Maine.
Uh-huh.
And it's called The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse.
Pretty much all crab fare.
Uh-huh. All right, so he gets a call to work at this restaurant?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, the clientele at this place, the Lighthouse, super rough. Hardcore fishermen, they're always getting into fights, throwing nets on each other, stuffing fish in each other's private areas.
Ugh. Uh-huh.
So Michael calls Greg and he asks him if he'll come to Western Maine and be the co-check man at the Lighthouse.
Okay.
Because the two other co-check guys got killed by fishermen.
So the two other coat check guys...
Hang on.
Yeah?
Oh, Daddy's back! Oh. What's up, man?
Whoa. Whoa. What did...
I'll tell you about Lighthouse.
What?
I'll tell you about Lighthouse.
What did you just do?
What do you mean?
You were winding down energy-wise.
Who was?
You were.
No, I wasn't. What are you talking about?
I was starting to fall asleep listening.
Who was?
You were. Now, you. What
I
did you?
I was at the White House.
What did you just do? You just did some.
I was at the White House. No. I had some Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay. Just a little bit of Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So.
So I'll finish the story. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
So, Greg, you know, he goes to this place, you know, and it's like hell on earth, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I start cleaning house there, you know?
Yeah.
And everything started to go great, but too great.
Okay.
And the lighthouse is doing so well that it starts stealing the business from the Golden Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other biggest seafood place in Western Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And the Golden Wharf is run by this guy named Captain Logan.
Okay.
And Captain Logan starts waging this war on Greg and Michael and the lighthouse staff.
Yeah, yeah. He got me all wound up now.
Who is?
You.
No, I'm not.
No, you.
I sound different?
What?
I sound different?
Yeah, you sound completely different.
How so? No, I don't.
How so? You were talking like this before and really...
Oh, I can't wait to start dancing. We're going to dance after.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah? Okay, go ahead. So this movie...
What are we talking about?
You're talking about Lighthouse.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about Lighthouse. So, Captain Logan, he starts waging this war on Greg and Michael and the Lighthouse staff.
Uh-huh.
And Captain Morgan's henchmen, they throw this burning rowboat through the front window of the lighthouse.
Uh-huh.
And it goes into the Kolchak room. And the Kolchak room goes up in flames.
Yeah.
And then Greg, he totally comes to the rescue.
Okay.
And he hears this baby crying.
From the Kolchak room.
It comes from the Kolchak room.
Uh-huh.
And someone checked this baby.
Someone checked the baby into the Kolchak.
Yeah. Why?
Because that's insane. Who would check a baby into...
I don't know, someone that was just like, you know, kind of running around, didn't have time to think about what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
So Greg runs back in and he finds not only the baby, but these two other kids that got checked.
Uh-huh.
And he saves all of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so now it's Greg's turn to kind of go wild.
Okay.
And he starts to exact his revenge over Captain Logan.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Okay, and how does he do that?
Oh, man. And this is why we're so lucky that we've got Trent on board.
Yeah. Okay. Who's Trent again?
Trent.
Who's Trent?
Trent L. Strauss.
Who's that?
He's a producer, director, film guy.
Producer, okay.
Yeah, his next film's called The Tool Belt Killer, but he's done stuff like You're Soaking in Her and Face Killers 1 through 3 and 6.
The guy who did Tool Belt Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you're working with him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, and how's that going?
It's great. He read my script, and he wants to produce it.
Wow, so he read your script, and he's going to make the movie.
Yeah, but he's got some ideas about how to make it more exciting.
Uh-huh, like what?
Well, like, I had Greg going and beating up Captain Logan's henchmen with, like, my fists.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, or, like, with an oar or something.
Sure.
But Trent suggested that maybe Greg could shred their faces with a motorboat engine.
Uh-huh. So how would he do that?
How would who do it?
How would Greg attack them with a motorboat?
He'd pick it up and he'd turn it on and he'd go, and then the faces would come off.
Okay, wow, yeah. That's completely gruesome.
And there was this other part right at the end where I sneak into the Golden Wharf's coat check room.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to play Greg. I just decided that just now.
You just decided you're going to play Greg now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Well, because maybe it's the part of the lead of the movie should be played by an actual actor.
Well, it's my story, pretty much.
Okay.
Let me tell the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I sneak into the Golden Wharf's coat check room,
yeah.
And because I'm going to throw down with Captain Logan,
uh-huh.
And I hide in a coat and I get checked in the coat check room.
Mm-hmm. So you are checked in the coat check room now.
Yeah.
Hiding in a coat.
Yeah.
How is it that a coat could be that heavy?
Well, the coat's being worn by Leonid Stadnik.
Yeah?
He's the world's tallest man. He's Ukrainian.
Uh-huh.
Check the Guinness book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why...
I just sent him a script.
But why on earth would that not be tied in with the guy... Why would his coat be so heavy?
It wouldn't be heavy. It would be big. It would have a huge pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be inside it.
Okay. With a motorboat engine.
No. You got to listen to me. You're not following me. That other thing happens with the henchmen.
Okay.
I peel their faces off with that.
Okay.
The next thing's something totally different. I've already killed those guys, and I've thrown away the engine.
Okay.
But now I go in the coat, and I go in the coat check room.
All right. So what happens then?
Yeah. So my idea was that I would beat up the captain with some pans from the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kind of catch him in a net from the wall, and then throw him from the wharf into the water.
Uh-huh.
But Trent had this other thought.
What's that?
His idea is for Greg to impale the captain with a giant skewer and then lowering him into a giant boiling pot.
Uh-huh.
And the pot's teeming with these sharks and crabs.
So he lowers... Wow, that just sounds insane.
He's impaled him on this skewer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of squirtage.
Yeah? Ugh. Yuck.
From all the places.
Ugh. I didn't want to know about it. Don't even talk about it.
So there's these sharks and these crabs in the thing, in the pot, and they start eating the captain alive.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's dying. But then the captain gets saved by the ghost of this Viking fisherman. I didn't mention that the Golden Wharf is built on an old Viking burial ground.
What's this guy Trent's fascination with Viking burial grounds?
Oh, wait, what? That's in one of his other things?
That's in the Tool Belt Killer.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, no, he sent me some sides from that, but I didn't get that part.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess...
I'll talk to him about that, because I think the Viking thing totally works in this one.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess maybe it's something you got. It's an either-or thing.
So anyway, yeah. It's still on this Viking burial ground, and both the captain, who only has these stumps at this point,
uh-huh.
And the Viking ghost, they start wailing on Greg, and they start peeling his face off.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to ruin the end, but Greg does turn the tables, and he saws off both the ghost and the captain's private parts. Ugh. With a rusty harpoon razor.
Ugh. Yuck. That sounds terrible.
Oh, you're going to love it when you uh-huh. see it.
It sounds disgusting. I'm not going to see it.
Well, maybe you'll see this.
What?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
What is that?
It's this other flick I'm working on.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
Yes, I go back in time and I get a job as this Kochek guy at Hitler's favorite restaurant.
So what, did you just do more coke?
Who did?
You.
Do you have any?
No, I don't have any coke.
Okay.
Why would I have coke?
I don't know, you're talking about coke right now. What's up with it? You doing rails?
What?
You doing rails?
What's that?
You doing rails?
I can't understand you.
I said, you doing rails?
Hold on, what is that?
You doing rails?
What?
I'll say it as slow as I can, okay?
Yeah.
You doing rails?
I don't understand.
Whoa.
Slow it down.
You got any candy?
Do I have any candy?
Yeah. Oh, you got some?
No, I don't. I'm not. No, I don't.
Want to hear about the flick?
What?
You want to hear about the flick?
Do I want it? Yes, I want to hear about the flick. The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
Yeah. So, I go back in time, uh-huh. And I get this job as a Kochek guy at Hitler's favorite restaurant.
Okay.
And so, Hitler checks in his coat, and I booby trap it, and I kill him.
So you kill Hitler in this movie.
Yeah, and I become the Fuhrer, and then I surrender to the Allies.
Uh-huh.
And then I start this boogie-woogie band, and I have last sex.
Oh, that sounds like a terrible...
It's great, you're going to love it.
Sounds great, yeah.
And a whole line of Kochek stuff I'm working on.
Like different Kochek things.
Oh, yeah.
Because the world is dying to get different Kochek.
It's a total franchise brand. I'm watching The Apprentice, like, every time it's on, and I'm totally getting into, like, brands and stuff, branding.
Oh, like, you're getting into branding,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, you watch The Apprentice, yeah?
Do I like The Apprentice?
Are you watching it this year?
No.
You don't watch it at all?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, man, there's one guy who got, he's gotten out of what do they call it when they do stuff?
The tasks?
The tasks. He gets out of these two tasks because he's Jewish and he doesn't work on those Sabbaths?
Uh-huh.
So he's gotten these two passes, and the other team guys are mad at him.
I lost you there for a second.
So the other guys on his team are mad at him because he doesn't do the tasks.
Uh-huh, because yeah. He doesn't work on the
side. And Trump's already fired, like, the hottest chicks already.
Oh.
So anyway, I want to tell you about Kochek math.
Uh-huh, well, Kochek what?
Kochek math.
Kochek math.
These Kochek books and these flashcards, and okay. They help kids learn, like, math and stuff, but via Kochek stuff.
I don't even know what...
It's like a lot of word stuff, like word problems, you know, when you were a kid, you
uh-huh.
like word problems and stuff, sentence stuff.
Okay, like what is... Give me an example of one.
Like, okay, Mr. Rehnquist goes into Di Medici's for dinner, and he checks... He and his party check 16 coats. They get added to the 32 coats that are already on check in the coat check, yet two are lost, and two more come in, but one more is lost. How many coats are in the coat check area?
And why would kids care about that?
Kids love coat checking.
Kids love coats?
A, kids love coats.
Uh-huh.
And they love to turn them over to people.
Okay.
And then get them back, hopefully.
All right. So that's kind of news to me.
That's one.
Yeah.
We also got hidden coat confessions.
And what is that?
Do you remember Taxi Cab Confessions?
Yeah, it was that HBO show where it was showing people in a taxi cab filming them.
Super erotic.
Oh, well, that's your decision. Your opinion.
That's the opinion of the masses.
Uh-huh.
This is the same thing, but it's like these hot coat check chicks, and yeah. They tell their most intimate secrets.
Yeah.
In the coat check room.
Okay.
And there's like these cameras in the pockets of the coats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it films people in the coat check room?
Only the chicks, the hot chicks.
Okay.
Yeah, no fatties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
What?
Just being kind of negative like that.
No, I'm not negative at all.
No
fatties.
I speak
for America.
No fatties.
Wait for Trapped in the Coat Check.
What?
Trapped in the Coat Check?
What is that?
You know that R. Kelly thing? Trapped in the Closet?
Sure.
Same sort of deal.
Uh-huh.
But it's guys trapped in the coat check room.
So it's a guy trapped in a coat check room and all different stories and whatnot.
All kinds of stories, yeah.
And who are you doing that with?
Pardon me?
Are you doing that with somebody, or is that just you doing all the music?
I'm doing it with a couple of the guys in Chicago.
A couple of the guys in Chicago?
Yeah.
The band Chicago?
No, Ferguson Jenkins.
The jazz guy?
No, he was a base. He played baseball for the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, he's a musician?
No, he's kind of financing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got some guy.
I'm writing it myself.
So you're writing it. You got some former baseball players financing.
Yeah.
Well, that
sounds. Franco Harris is interested too.
What's that?
Franco Harris.
So you're working with different athletes.
Yeah.
And I assume you met them through coat checking?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's sounds like you've got a very. Prosperous future ahead of
you. I got a lot of stuff going. Hey, and I got to go in a second.
Yeah?
So I want to wrap this up, okay? I got to head down to... got to head down to Camden.
What's in Camden?
Trent says that, you know, we can probably get either Kubrick or Wells to direct the movie. But I got to go meet all of them in Camden in about an hour and 20 minutes.
I kind of lost you there. Stanley Kubrick?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who
from the Hills Have Eyes.
Well, no, not The Hills Have Eyes. Eyes Wide Shut.
What's that?
That's the last movie he directed. He died like 5 or 6 years ago.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he most certainly.
Shut up.
He did.
Well.
And who's the other guy?
I'm meeting him in an hour and 20.
Who's the other guy? Wells?
Yeah.
Orson Welles.
Yeah, yeah.
Another guy. A guy who died about 20 years ago.
No, he didn't. What? You're stupid.
No, I'm the stupid one.
Well, I'm meeting these guys in this Avis lot down there in Camden.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because I Google Earthed this address.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you get a satellite picture.
Yeah.
And it just showed up as this abandoned lot with, like, no lighting.
So it's an Avis, like an abandoned Avis?
Well, and in this picture, you can also kind of make out what looked to be gang members, like, kind of off to the side.
Actually from Google Earth.
Yeah, and it looks like there's some sort of burning car, too.
Wow. For Google Earth to capture violent images like that.
Do you want to go down with me?
Definitely not.
Come on, please?
No, absolutely not.
I'll cut
you
in half and half.
No way.
50-50.
No.
Come on.
I don't care about your stupid movie.
Do you think this is on the up and up?
Well, are you bringing money down?
A little bit of that, but more of something else.
Well, how much money are you bringing down?
I'm bringing $10,000.
Okay, and how much of something else?
Almost a pound. Why?
And how much is that pound worth?
Oh, you know, it's got to be six figures at this point, I would think. Wouldn't you think? At least.
I'm not much of a trafficker of certain things,
right.
So...
Hang on. Oh, if those guys steal my stuff, I'm going to be so bummed, man.
Okay, you know what? Good luck.
Please go with me, please.
No,
we'll
absolutely.
We'll do rails. Come on.
No.
I'll get you Rolling Lighthouse.
What?
I'll get you Rolling Lighthouse.
What?
You'll Star Lighthouse.
I can't understand you.
You'll Star Lighthouse.
What?
You'll be Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, the movie.
Yeah. Why?
I don't care about Lighthouse.
Come on. Well, I'll let you be the guy that gets split in half in two by a tuna saw. Come on.
No,
please,
I don't.
Come on, come on.
No. You're on your own.
Come on.
You're on your own.
I'm coming over there.
Good luck.
We're going to do it. Come on.
Good luck down
come on,
there.
We're going to rock into the night.
No.
Come on, champagne and cocaine. Come on. We're going to do it. Come on.
What did you just say?
I said champagne and cocaine. Come on, we're going to do it.
Champagne and cocaine.
Did you ever
champagne? No. Good luck
did
with your thing. I got to move on.
We're going to do it. Come on, we're going to do it.
I got to move on. Oh, he hung up on me. Wow. You hear that, everybody? The sad effect of controlled substances. You got to watch out for them. Minutes left in the show. We're going to play a little bit more music here, and then come back. Hopefully, Emily. If Emily is out there, she will call for the next segment, and explain herself. But in the meantime, Electric Light Orchestra, their first album was called No Answer. It's reissued now with a couple bonus tracks. One of which is an alternate mix of a different take of the 105.38 Overture.
Take one.
Electric Light Orchestra, everybody. Here on the best show on WFMU, 1/2 hour to go in the program. Hot stuff tonight. Hot stuff. Undeniably hot stuff. That ELO record is reissued by the fine people over at Epic Legacy. And quick announcement I want to make. The program following this program tonight, just so you know, the one and only Bill Zerat program, he is going to have some special guests in studio rocking out. He's going to have Ex-Cocaine. They are in town for the most recent No Fun Fest. The heavy folk duo from Montana, swinging by the studio for a live set of their Sedate Noise, all of which delivered on bongos and distorted electric guitar. You will be utterly entranced by the band's sludgy, chill vibe, as also heard on their Keep America Mellow LP. That is coming up next here on WFMU. Bill Zerat on from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Listen to a live set from Ex-Cocaine. Exclusively on WFMU and Bill's program. And reminder on Saturday also, you check out the Black Hollies on Terry T's program, Cherry Blossom Clinic. Saturday, 3 to 6 p.m. Hot stuff, Ex-Cocaine coming up next on Bill's show. Saturday's got Black Hollies on Terry T's show. 3 to 6. Plenty of rock here on WFMU. Now, if Emily is out there, I would like to talk to her. Emily, I had spoken to her about calling in. If you are out there, madam, please call in. We will talk about something that happened to me during the marathon. I had a conversation with Emily. ...201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Great show. Very funny.
Hey, Emily, how are you doing tonight?
Very well.
What's your name?
I didn't say my name.
Well, I'm asking you your name.
How about that ELO?
What?
That ELO came out the same year as the Hunky Dory, I think. No, the Spiders from Mars, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
What a year.
What year?
That was a great year.
Good year for music.
Was it?
2006, good year for music, great year for gumping. Get off my phone! How dare you call up, waste my time like this. FMU, you're on the air. How are you tonight, Emily?
Oh! Come on! Let's go!
Yeah, the power of gomp. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, it's Emily.
Hi, Emily. How are you tonight?
Fine, thanks.
Now, I met Emily during the 2006 WFMU Marathon.
Yep.
You were a phone volunteer.
Uh-huh.
You came in the down to the building and volunteered and lent your valuable time to the station, which is greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
Now, during the, I'm sitting in the phone room, and I say, hello, I'm talking to the different phone volunteers, and I say, hey, my name's Tom. And then you go, oh, I know, right? Something like to that effect.
Right, right, because I had seen you earlier say that you were Tom, and then that's when I had this experience of being shocked.
And then I'm sitting there getting ready to answer some phone calls, right? Just, uh-huh. I'm going to answer some phones also. I'm not the ladder of volunteerism knows no top and no bottom, as I say.
Huh. Okay.
So I'm there answering phones also, and then you say, "Can I ask you a question?" Now, what is the question? Ask me that question that you repeat that question that you asked me that day.
How old are you?
And then I said, "I'm in my 30s." And then I said, "Why?" And then you said, because...
I thought you were much older. Say, maybe in your 60s.
Because listening to the show...
You sounded very much older than in your 30s, and I had this image of a man in his 60s. And I kind of still do. With 60s, like, I mean, I don't know, late 60s, mid-60s, but 60s, maybe 63.
Now,
I don't know.
What's giving you that image?
It's just your voice. I don't know how else to explain it. And my creative imagination.
Now, people should go over to to my website, to friendsoftom.com. Go to the message board, friendsoftom.com. Click on the message board, and then you'll see in the discussion area, the main area of the board, you will see the picture that you drew, that you thought that's what I sounded like.
Right, right. I must say, though, that it wasn't exactly the image that I really wanted to convey. I still have an image that's sort of, like, different from that. That was kind of like, after I drew that, I sort of felt like maybe somehow I was influenced by, like, I don't know, Larry King or something. I don't watch Larry King, but it wasn't the greatest picture in my opinion. And I think that I was thinking about it before. I was like trying to figure out like who you like looked like, because I knew there was somebody else that I was kind of like loosely basing this image on in my head, and I came up with it. I think. Are you there?
Yeah. Oh, I'm here. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. I want answers.
Okay. So the person, the image, the character that I kind of like think maybe loosely based, like, the image that I have of you in my head based on how you sound,
uh-huh.
So do you know Andy Kaufman, right?
Sure.
Okay, so you know the movie Jim Carrey movie, Man on the Moon?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, and then you know how he has, like, he's Andy Kaufman, and then he's the alter... It's Andy Kaufman, right? Am I getting the name right?
No, you're right.
And then it's, like, his alter ego, who's,
Tony,
like, the guy...
Tony Clifton.
Exactly. Like, I pictured, like, something like that, but thinner and more gray.
Is what you thought I would look like.
Yeah.
Like Tony Clifton.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't look like that!
I know. Yeah. It's
I'm
weird.
Young!
It's weird. Yeah, I know, but you don't sound young, I don't think. I mean, take a poll. I don't know how people think you sound.
Let's take a poll. 201-209-9368. Stay on the line, Emily. I want answers.
Okay.
FMU, you're on the air.
No, it's Emily.
Oh. Oh, no.
Come on!
Could you hear that?
No.
You're actually lucky. I'm going to say it's some 201-209-9368. You hear my voice on the radio. Do I sound like some old guy? Do I sound old? What am I doing to sound old? I want answers. I don't want to sound old. I'm young. Mike is screening calls out there. Thank you, Mike, also, by the way, for coming down as you do every Tuesday night and being a hero of the best show on WFMU. FMU, you're on the air.
Ugly and balding.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. What's that mean? So he thinks I'm ugly and balding? Huh. Yeah. Emily?
Sorry. This is interesting. I've never done this before.
Could you hear that?
I can kind of hear him. I couldn't really hear him.
We hung up on him.
Oh. But I heard you saying that he thought you were ugly and bald. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see if I get this other call. FMU, cool. You're on the air.
Yes. I thought you were... You look much different than what I expected you to look like.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were always the guy that would show up at the Fez or some club that had a Bloodshot Records T-shirt on, glasses, thinning hair.
That's actually worse.
Yeah. But not 63.
That's actually
certainly not 30s. More like 50.
50? Oh, so you're kind of saying I only sound like I'm in my 50s.
Well, very young 50s.
Well, thank you.
But just beyond 49.
Well, I appreciate
it. You know,
that.
And this is based on not the last 2 years when I did discern what you looked like,
uh-huh.
but when you first started doing the show. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so you wouldn't have been 50 then. You would have been, what, 45? How many years?
Okay,
have you
been on? All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Let's get some more calls on here. There's a picture over at friendsatom.com of... you'll see that Emily drew of what she thought I sounded like.
Hello.
Hello, FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ryan. I've been listening to you, and I got to admit, I have another movie reference. The guy that played Capote there, Seymour Hoffman is his name,
yeah.
I think. Right, so him in Almost Famous...
Is Lester Bangs?
Yeah, but older. I got
like an older Lester Bangs.
It's just your voice.
What is it in the voice? Help me here.
I don't. It's something. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you're younger. I totally believe you. But
what
should
I sound like this? Everybody, does that make it better?
How's
that now?
Don't change anything, man.
Hey, we'll do the show. That's the best show. Tom Sharpling. Everybody, we're going to have some fun tonight.
Hey, man, you entertained me, so just keep doing it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, we got a call from Philly Boy Roy checking in.
Is that bad? Is that what you want? No, I'm kidding. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, this is Dina from Red Bank.
Hi, Dina.
And I have to say, Tom, that
yes.
you your voice is nothing of a man of in his 60s. I work with people that are in their 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Your voice is like no more than 44, my age. It's
okay.
Young and healthy and virile.
Well, thank you.
Don't smoke.
Thank you, Dina.
Okay. You take care. Don't let those kids get you down, okay?
I'm not getting down.
Keep
not
your
down.
Chin up, Bucky.
I'm not down. You know what I'd be down is if she sent me a picture of what I look like, and I looked like that guy. And I actually look like that.
I didn't see that, but that's just because she's young. When she gets a little older, she'll crack up when she thinks about it.
Yeah,
you know?
She's learning. You're right.
Yeah. Have a
Thank
good night.
Thank you,
Dana. Bye.
Bye. That's when I'd be truly upset. It's like, hey, this is what I think you look like. And then somebody sends me a picture of a drawing of me, and then I'm like, oh, I actually do look like this old, weird, bald guy with the broom handle mustache. FMU, you're on the air.
Out there, come on! No, door's open. Mary comes in late at night.
See, he didn't have enough juice, enough material. He didn't get juiced! Somebody now saying on the thing I that I Where was it? I just saw something. I sound like Tom Likas. I don't sound like Tom Likas. That, come on! That's what Tom Likas sounds like. Really? He's this terrible DJ on the West Coast who's like a real sexist creep.
Oh.
Well, Emily, thank you for drawing that picture. I do appreciate... If I appreciate anything, it's the fact that I don't look like that. And I can look like the way I can look the way I look, but it's funny to hear what the people's reaction. And thank you for drawing that and for coming on and explaining yourself.
No problem.
You have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, 15 minutes left in the show. We're gonna squeeze in some song entries here. People entering the theme song contest, which is in full effect. You go to friendsoftom.com. You get in on the theme song entry. You get your contest entry in. We're going to do it for another few weeks. The winner will get a fun pack. And your song will be heard every week on the best show on WFMU. Your song will be the theme song. How exciting is that? It's going to be awesome. So now we will hear the first entry. It's called... It's by Larry and Shasta. It's called You Deserve the Best. Let's check it out now here on WFMU. Oh, no, sorry, sorry. Sorry, Larry. Sorry, Shasta. Cueing it up. Hold on, guys. Guys, I'm going to back it up.
I don't want to waste another Tuesday night watching bad guys win on crime scene TV shows. No, no.
Wow. How about that? It's like a little Michael McDonald feel. Felt like I was, that was nice. That was kind of like the, like a little Yamo Be There feel. Next one we're going to hear is called Come On In by Stargarder. These are the, Stargarder, I apologize. These are the theme song entries. People entering the Best Show on WFMU theme song contest. You go to friendsoftom.com to get more information on it. Now, we are going to hear Come On In by Stargarder, the next entry in the theme song contest.
It's the best show, the very best show. WFMU. It's the best show.
Nice little short and sweet there. Short and sweet from Stargarder. Oh, next one coming up here is by Oh, it's by Foffer. Another one of his entries. This is called Bring It On by Petey's father. All right. Best show on WFMU back again. Happy to be here on WFMU.
Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it.
FMU, you're on the air. Gear up. Good guys winning.
Hey, who's this?
How are you today?
How are you finding this stuff out?
Humor. And I didn't mean to call you fat, son.
I know nothing about that.
But I talk to people.
It's a place.
Just relax.
Well, tell me.
Make people happy.
Music.
My name is Tom Sharpling. I'll be your host for tonight's installment of the best show on WFMU.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Start juicing it.
Tell me. The Troublemakers.
Well, I'm not going to sign a release.
Another great entry from Foffer. Foffer coming through. Petey's father checking in with another entry. Coming up next, we're going to hear one from Scallop, the best show theme. Let's check out Scallop's entry in the best show theme contest. We are blasting through these entries. I haven't done it in a few weeks. We're catching up. Here is Scallop's entry into the theme song contest.
Another night with no wild women calling. Another night.
Let's have a joke. I don't play
games. You, you're on the air.
Hey, man, it's Brian Bowser Newbury.
You know Matt Drudge?
From The Simpsons and Akbar and Company. I need a doobie part
to come partake of my fart, man.
Yeah.
I never smoked, but wait.
That's a little
taste. You, you're on the air.
You're just so dangerously high right
now. The second part involves boiling you.
Oh, great.
Why? Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Petey, how are you?
Never, sir.
I don't like it.
You love it.
You got it, son.
I don't know Jenny from the bedroom.
I'm not a huge rock star like you. I don't do sorry to be a mall.
Get out of my mall and get off my phone.
I got a stray chew in there.
What's up, Sharp?
What?
Sharp.
Stray chew.
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
Who's that?
Who do you think it is?
Like a tent? You say, Stephen, you think it's like a tent that you sleep in.
Oh, little technical problem there. A little technical problem. Did we cut off Scallop's theme?
Another night with no wild women calling. Another night. No women.
Let's have a joke.
I don't play games.
Yeah, you, you're on the air.
Hey, man, it's Brian Bowser Newbury.
You know Matt Drudge?
Bobby.
From The Simpsons and Akbar and Company. I need a doobie part
to come partake of my fart, man.
Yeah.
I never smoked, but wait.
That's a little taste.
Well, you, you're on the air.
You're just so dangerously high right
now. The second part involves boiling you.
Oh, great.
Why? Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Petey, how are you?
Never, sir.
I don't like it.
He does it.
You got it, son.
I don't know Jenny from the bedroom.
I'm not a huge rock star like you. I don't do sorry to be a mall.
Get out of my mall and get off my phone.
I got a stray chew in there.
What's up, Sharp?
What?
Sharp.
Stray chew.
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
Who do you think it is?
Like a tent? You say, Stephen, you think it's like a tent that you sleep in.
I don't know.
It's game on, Stephen.
That's on the menu and die.
There you go. I'll get off my phone. Scallop. Scallop's entry into the theme song contest. Nice work, Scallop. Next, we're going to hear the Summer Snowmen with their best show theme entry.
I'm starting to think that this is one of those practical joke shows.
And unlike most.
back in.
That kid's face. How'd he do that? He actually faked half a theme song. I, you know what? I knew that was going to happen to me during this contest. And it did. The kid who was taking the theme from some stupid Nickelodeon show and got called on it now is... he just did his own little thing. He actually faked it out as if he was actually had a real theme there. He actually worked pretty hard on the first half of it, then went to his stupid little thing. Oh, the folly of youth. So now we are going to hear the next entry is by... it's by Frozen Heat. It's called Best Melting. We're going to check that out now. Here are the theme song contest, WFMU, best show. Get more information over at friendsoftom.com. Let's hear Frozen Heat by Best Melting. Get off my show!
The 330 shuttle to RV1 has been canceled due to a crash. We wish reconstructed passengers a pleasant day and apologize for any inconvenience their demise may have entailed.
Hey, you just got fucked.
They did it again! Oh. He's sending it from these different accounts, too. Thinks he's melting me with that stuff. Sorry, son. I ain't the one sitting there all day in front of a computer making these things. I'm playing it. It takes 40 seconds of my time. It takes hours of yours, son. Hours. Another theme song entry coming up here. Let's hope it's not another phony baloney one. Let's hope it's a real one.
Bye.
This one is called... It's by it's by Bigums. I have a feeling. Please don't be another fake one.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I got run there, huh? What do you think about that, Mike? He is devious. He's devious with a lot of free time. Kid's getting me. This kid might be one of those tall bike riders. Harassing me on his tall bike. Our final entry of the evening. By folk star Bob. It's called Sit Back and See.
Yeah.
Billy
I love
Boy.
It.
Yeah.
Billy
yeah.
Boy. Billy
I love
Boy.
It.
Best show on WFMU back again for another Tuesday night installment taking you all the way till 11 p.m.
It's that time to do best show on WFMU.
FMU, you're on the air.
Toast Tom and an officer too. PDN is pop for you. Sit back and see what we're gonna do.
FMU, you're on the air.
There's a chat room too on the internet with you. Friendsoftom.com. Got Philly Boy, Roy's a joy.
I love it.
Sit back and see what we're gonna
I love it.
Do. It's that time, best show on WFMU.
Buddy, best show on WFMU, back again for another Tuesday night installment, taking you all the way till 11 p.m.
This will be all year, took a long time to...
Nicely done.
Nicely done. The final entry of the night.
Billy, I love it.
Yeah, we did it, everybody. There, good entries. Thank you, everybody who entered the theme song contest today. The end is coming soon. So if you have an entry, get it to me now. Get working on it. Get working. There's some hot contestants in there. Some hot candidates. We got more to play next week, and but get me your new entries ASAP. Except for that practical joke kid who's hung up on sending me that one thing that's the same thing again and again. Come on, son. He's up on the gas pedal. Go read a book. Do some homework. I'm sure you're not getting A's in every class. This is WFMU East Orange, WXHJ Manhope, Worldwide Web, WFMU.org. Best show. We'll be back next Tuesday. Just another reminder, coming up next, Bill Zerat's got X-Cocaine live session. You can only hear it on his show. Check it out. Coming up here on WFMU, home of the magic.